Hi, this is Bob Cooper of Elite. First of all, I'd like to say thanks so much for listening and thanks so much for your trust in us. I'd also like to say I have every reason to believe that you're going to absolutely love what you're about to hear. Here's why. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say that regardless of where you are worldwide and regardless of whether you have an independent repair shop, a new car dealership, or an aftermarket franchise, one thing is for certain. When a customer tells you that it's too much money or they'd like to think it over, or when they tell you that they think for whatever reason that they could get the same job done for less down the street somewhere, you need to be able to overcome that objection, and you need to be able to do it in the most professional and ethical way. And you know, that's what this program is going to do for you. What you're about to hear was recorded live at a seminar that I presented in Irvine, California. And you have my promise. By listening to this program, you're going to be able to close more sales. You are. You're also going to see an increase in your customer satisfaction scores. And what both of those two are going to do together is lead to a more profitable, successful business for you. The bottom line, regardless as to whether you're a business owner or a service advisor, it's going to be a win for you and a win for your customers as well. Now, I know you're anxious to get started. I'm sure of that. So if you're ready, so am I. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another industry-acclaimed product from Elite. Welcome to Mastering Sales Objections. Let's talk about sales objections. Not that you ever get any, but in case if you do get some. There's a couple cardinal rules that I would like to share with you in regard to dealing with sales objections. The first thing that I'm going to ask that you realize when it comes to dealing with sales objections is there's a certain ethic that comes into dealing with sales objections. The ethic is this. When a customer looks at you and says, well, Lisa, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to go home and talk it over with my wife and get back to you tomorrow. Or when a customer looks at you, Lisa, and says, you know, let me just think about it, get back to you in the next few days. I hope that you realize that at that point, there's a lot of things that are going on in that customer's mind that they are more than likely not sharing with you. When they say that they'd like to go home and talk it over with their wife, most of the time what they're really saying is there's something that's wrong. The customer knows what's wrong in their mind. But with all due respect, Lisa doesn't know. And if that customer turns around and walks out, and if you try to be the courteous lady, which I know that you are, and if you say, no problem, Bob, we'll go ahead and put the wheels back on your car and have you wrapped up in just a minute and get back to me and let me know what you'd like us to do then. And if you let me walk out that door, I hope that you realize the reputation of your company will go out with me. Because when I go home, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the whole free world that you tried to sell me something that I didn't need. Now, is that the case? No, it's not the case, if you ask Lisa. But if you ask me, it is the case. You see, the reason that I know that you tried to sell me something that I don't need is because one of the things that I'd like to bring to your attention at this time is that you told me that the rotors need to be replaced on my automobile. Now, I didn't challenge you on that, but let me tell you why. Because, you see, my brother-in-law used to be a mechanic. And he was over at our house for the holidays not long ago, and he looked up underneath my car, and he told me that it looked like the rotors were okay. Now, you're telling me that I need rotors. I've known my brother-in-law for a lifetime. So all of a sudden, your credibility is now out the window with me. So the fact of the matter is, I didn't volunteer that to you, Lisa, because I didn't want to challenge you. I didn't want to look in your eyes and say, you know what, I don't believe you. When you gave me the service recommendation. I don't believe that those rotors need to be replaced. Now, there are going to be some people that are going to challenge you. You know that. I'm not asking you, Lisa, to put a rope around my neck and drag me through the business. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to help me as a customer. And the way that you can help me as a customer is understand when I give you an objection, the first thing that you need to do is be thankful. Because I'm sending a very strong message to you that there's something that's troubling me. And all that you need to do now is figure out what it is and help me for the purposes of clarity, Lisa, not money, for the purposes of clarity. And now if you use your skills, which I know that you can, and if you can find out what's troubling me, you know what will happen? One of two things. Either the lights will go on with me, you'll bring clarity to it, and I'll go, oh, now I understand, and I'll say yes. Or number two, I won't necessarily go ahead and say yes, but at least when I do walk out those doors, I'll walk out those doors believing that what you told me was true. And that'll preserve the reputation of you and your company. I learned that, Lisa, a long time ago. I'm going to tell you a story. A customer that taught me that valuable lesson about dealing with sales objections. I called up a customer at one time and I told him that we needed to do an overhaul on his transmission and it was going to cost a certain amount of money, and I told him that he also needed two universal joints. And he said, well, Bob, look, why don't we go ahead and do this? We had already done an inspection on the transmission, had it disassembled and inspected. He said, why don't we go ahead and do this, Bob? Why don't we go ahead and, you said that it was a certain fee to go ahead and do that inspection, and you had told me if I decided not to repair it, you'd put it back together again, and I could pick up my car. I said, yes, sir, that's what I had told you. He said, well, let's go ahead and do that. Well, Mr. Smith, if I'm understanding you correctly at this point, you're telling me you would rather not go ahead and do the repair? That's right, Bob, I don't want to go ahead and do the repair. Well, Mr. Smith, can I ask, do you feel uncomfortable with our service or our people? Or no, Bob, look, Bob, you know, I really don't want to talk about it. Let's just go ahead and put it back together again, and I'll pick it up this evening. All right, I'll see you at 6 o'clock, Bob. And he came in to pick up his automobile, and I'll never forget that he wasn't really communicating with me at that point. And it really troubled me. And he paid the inspection fee, and he took his car. And I was really uncomfortable. I knew that somewhere I had made a mistake. Somewhere I had lost this man's confidence, and I didn't know where, and he wasn't communicating it with me. And it was probably 2 or 3 days later, this was really haunting me. I called him up at home. That's how bad I felt. Mr. Smith, Bob Cooper calling. Do you have a minute? Yeah, what can I do for you, Bob? Well, I know that you were in the other day and we did an inspection on your automobile and you decided not to go ahead and do the repairs. And that's really been bothering me. And I was sort of crossing my fingers and hoping that maybe you might tell me what I did wrong so I don't make a mistake like that again and alienate another customer. And this is what he told me. He said, I'll tell you what you did wrong, Bob. He said, you tried to sell me something that I didn't need. And I thought, oh, Lord, when I heard that, my ears perked up. And I said, Mr. Smith, can you elaborate on that? He said, yeah, I'll elaborate on it. He said, you told me that I needed an overhauled transmission and that I needed a couple universal joints replaced too. And I said, well, according to the technician's report, that's the case. He said, no, Bob, that's not the case. He said, you know, I know that I don't need universal joints. I said, why would you say that, Mr. Smith? He said, because I remember when I first brought my car into you and your first technician went underneath the car and did a minor diagnosis on it, one of the things that he checked during the checkoff was the universal joints, and he said that they were okay. Now I want to be clear with all of you. All of you that have any kind of mechanical experience are very well aware that when you look at a drive shaft, it might look like the universal joints are okay, but when you take that drive shaft off, they could be as bad as could be. Isn't that safe to say? Well, in this particular case, it was that little differential in words. Whereas the technician said the universal joints were okay with the preliminary diagnosis, instead of saying something like, they appear to be okay, but you really can't tell, Mr. Smith, unless the drive shaft is removed from the car. So the fact of the matter is, the moral of this story is, if I wouldn't have been persistent and called that customer back and learned that it was our error on communication, our reputation would have went out the window. But I learned from that point, and I was able to rebuild as well as I could with that customer, exactly the story that I told you. But I learned from that point forward that any time a customer ever says, I'd like to think it over, I'd like to get back to you, that it wasn't the customer that made a mistake. It was us. So from an ethic point of view, whenever a customer gives us an objection, we need to be thankful. We need to be appreciative that they're communicating with us. And then we need to do everything within our power to find out exactly what they mean, what they're objecting about, without harming them, but letting them know that we help them. So with that said, let's talk about some of the more common objections that you're going to ever hear, and I'll give you some tips on dealing with them. First and foremost, the easiest objection on this entire planet to deal with, and I know that it might sound a little bit goofy, but just again, keep an open mind, all right? Is whenever a customer looks at you and says it's too much money, or whenever they look at you and say, That's a lot of money. Treat those two objections as one and the same. It's too much money and it's a lot of money. There's absolutely no different. Every single time when a customer looks at you and says, that's too much money, I'm going to ask that you turn that around and ask them a question. Well, Mr. Smith, you say it's too much money. Can you elaborate on that? Well, Mr. Jones, you say it's too much money. Can you elaborate on that? Now, the reason that we need to do that is when a customer says it's too much money, we have no idea as to what they're saying. When a customer looks at you and says it's too much money, don't jump to the conclusion that they're telling you that your prices are too high. What they might be telling you is they don't have that kind of money with them right now. You might look at a customer and say, well, Mitch, you say it's too much money. Can you elaborate on that? And they might look at you and they might say something like this. Yeah, I don't have $345 with me. All that I have is $300 with me today. So now what they really meant was just a cash crunch. Do you understand what I'm saying? When a customer looks at you and says it's too much money, do you realize what they might be telling you, that they feel that the car isn't worth fixing? When a customer looks at you and says it's too much money, Kevin, you know, that's just too much money. What they might be telling you is they had a clutch put in their Honda or their other car for less money. So comparative to that, it's a different amount. So what we always need to do as detectives is we need to get them to elaborate on it. The next time a customer looks at you and says it's too much money, always invert that into a question and get more information, because we don't have enough information. If you don't do what I'm asking you to do, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bark up the wrong tree. So here comes Steve, and he comes into my dealership, and Steve looks at me, and I give him the price on a brake service, and he says, oh, Bob, that's too much money, $280-some dollars. And I think it's a price objection in value, when in reality what he's really saying is he doesn't get paid until the end of the week. And I look at him, and I say, well, Steve, you know, I know it seems like a lot of money, but there's a lot of damage and a lot of parts that are going to have to be replaced. Do you see what I'm doing now? I'm preaching to the choir. He already believes that. Do you know that offends people when you do that? That offends them. He already agrees that it needs to be done. He feels comfortable with our service recommendation. So never, never, never be presumptive that you know what that means. When a customer says it's too much money, always ask them to elaborate on it. Here's another one that all of you see often. I'd like to talk it over with my wife. Y'all have seen that one before, haven't you? I'll give you some tips on how to deal with that one. Number one, you need to be very careful about offering them a phone. Y'all know what that means, right? Well, would you like to call her from here? Because odds are it's a smokescreen. Do you all agree with me or disagree with me? Odds are it's a smokescreen. We live in a cellular world. If you really wanted to talk it over with his wife, he could pick up the phone or he could say, look at you, and he could say, Scott, you know, do you have a phone? Can I give her a call from here? So there's typically something going on in the back of his mind. The issue is we don't know what it is going on in the back of his mind. Now, I can tell you where it could be. Number one, you're going to be my customer for a moment here, and you just told me that you'd like to talk it over with your wife. Number one, you might not believe that the recommendation that I gave you, that service really needs to be done. To put it another way, a brake job, you might feel in the bottom of your heart that those rotors don't need to be replaced. You don't want to be confrontational with me. All that you want to do is leave. You don't know how to leave without being confrontational. So you look in your mind and you go, what can I tell Bob that will completely disarm him? What can I give him as an excuse that he has absolutely no answer for? Well, I got an idea. My wife's not here. I'm going to tell him I want to talk it over with my wife. Nothing he can do about that. So what I need to accept is when you look at me and say, well, I'd like to talk it over with my wife, number one, you might not believe that it needs to be done. Number two, you might believe that it needs to be done, but you might not believe that our solutions are the best solutions. Make sense so far? Number three, you might believe that our solutions are really good solutions, but you might believe in the bottom of your heart it's something that you don't need to do right now. Even though I'm putting urgency on it, you might believe in the bottom of your heart it's something that you could do next month. And number four, last but not least, could be price. You might think it's too much money for the value that we're offering. I don't know which one it is. So what I need to do as a professional, Scott, and I'm going to use you for a moment if it's okay with you, what I need to do as a professional is I need to find out which one it is that's troubling you. In a way where you don't feel as though you're being pressured whatsoever. Because I don't want to pressure you. I want to help you. And when you walk out those doors to talk it over with your wife, I want to make sure that you know everything that you need to know about our company, about our recommendation, about the benefits, and about our price. So what I need to do is somehow or rather figure out a way to revisit all of those points and see if I can find out where I dropped the ball with you in a way that doesn't make you feel as though you're being manipulated. And this is how you do it. Now, keep an open mind, all right? I'm going to bring humor into this. Humor seems to work every time. When a customer tells you that they'd like to talk it over with their wife, the first thing that I'm going to ask that you do is, if at all possible, have a technician start reassembling their automobile. If it's a brake job, you got the wheels off, have somebody start putting the wheels back on. Well, Scott, I'll be more than happy to get one of our technicians putting your car back together. It'd just take a minute. Do you have just a moment, Scott?
Sure.
Excellent. I'll be right with you. Steve, do you have a moment?
Sure.
Scott's going to be scooting out of here in just a few minutes. Could you go ahead and put the wheels back on his Chevrolet?
You got it.
Sure, would appreciate it. Thanks. Why would I do that? Somebody raise their hand.
When you put them in, his escape rod is still open at this point, so he's going to start relaxing.
Putting him at ease. Now, do you realize if I didn't make that comment to the technician, he already told me that he wants to leave. And if I'm not moving forward with his request, do you see how he's now feeling pressured? Do you all agree with me or disagree with me? So, you know, look, I want to be very clear. I want him to believe in our company. So the first thing that I need to do is forget automobiles. I need to think about people. So now I'm going to take the wind out of those sails, and I'm going to say, Steve, let's go ahead and let's get the wheels back on his car so we can get him scooted out of here. Now what you can do, and you need to do this from your own personality, but levity, the lightheartedness seems to work, and it also has a blend of reality. This is what I've done thousands of times. I know that you could do it. Now I'm going to pick back up with Scott, all right? Well, Scott, I don't know about your household, but I know at my household, if I went home and tried to tell Karen, my wife, about everything that we talked about here on your automobile, and looked at her and said, what do you think we should do, Karen? I know Karen well enough to know she'd look at me and say, well, Bob, I don't know, what do you think we should do? And I'd look at her and say, well, I don't know, honey, what do you think we should do? And she'd say, well, I don't know, what do you think? And between the two of us, you know what it boils down to every single time? The one that winds up making the decision is the one that has the most information at their disposal to make the right decision. So before you scoot out of here, Scott, now I'm going to freeze frame him. What message did I just send to him in regard to that dialogue with my wife, Karen? A hand went up in the back.
You understand his situation.
I understand his situation and what it's like. And I painted a very real-life picture for him, didn't I? Because odds are that's what it's going to be like when he goes home. She's going to look at him and say, I don't know, honey, what do you think we should do, Scott? So ultimately, it's going to be a person, not two people, that make the decision. So now I'm going to pick back up with him. And watch, I mean, this works so well. Watch how I keep painting his wife into this mental picture so he feels like he's not being trapped or coerced to stay here. Well, Scott, before you scoot out of here, your wife may very well have some questions about our diagnosis. I know when you brought your car and you're concerned about two things. You're concerned about the fact that it was making a noise when you step on a pedal. Is that right? And that it was pulling to the left. Is that right? I'm going to put him on freeze frame again. Why did I ask him that question?
Reaffirm that the problem is still there.
Wait a minute. What do you mean reaffirm that the problem is still there?
You're reminding him that.
Nope, that's still not it. Great comment. Why did I ask him that question? Now, Scott, when you brought your car and you were concerned about this and this, why did I reiterate that to him and get an answer from him?
To verify that's what his concerns were.
To verify that's what his concerns were. Remember I told you I have to retrace all my steps? I'm going all the way back to the beginning again. Because for all I know, well, Bob, I wasn't concerned about that. Remember, I was telling you that it was making like a high-pitched squealing sound. Oh, that's where I made the mistake. So I need to go all the way back. When the doctor came in and saw the patient, I need to go all the way back to the beginning as to what you were concerned about. Now I'm going to pick back up with Scott. Scott, I remember when you came in, you were concerned about a couple things. You were concerned about the fact that when you step on a pedal, it would make a noise. Is that right?
Right.
And the car was pulling to the left when you step on a brake pedal. Am I right? Okay. And I know that we went ahead and we did the inspection. As a matter of fact, I know Steve is our master tech that did the inspection. And he recommended that the rotors need to be replaced along with the pads. Now, do you have any questions at all about his diagnosis at this point?
No.
Okay. Before you scoot out of here, do we need to ask him any further questions that might help your wife in your decision-making process?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, so you feel comfortable with his recommendation. Now I'm going to put him on pause again. Do you see what I just did? I went back and I revisited his concern and identifying the need. And while I'm going through this exercise with Scott, I'm looking for any signs of whether or not there's any questions at all in his mind. So now we're going to pick back up again. So you feel comfortable that your wife is going to feel comfortable that that's something that you guys are going to need to do just as soon as possible. Is that safe to say? Yeah. Well, let me ask you another question. I know that we haven't had a chance to meet your wife yet, and she hasn't been to our facility, but do you think that she would feel comfortable with our technicians and our warranties?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you think she'd have any questions at all about the warranties that we offer on our brake services?
Yeah, probably just the length of the warranty.
Do you see what he's just said at this point? She would probably have some questions about the length of the warranty. That's the issue.
He said she would, but it's I.
The fact of the matter is he's now concerned about the warranty. And then what do all great detectives do? Okay, Scott, you seem to be a little concerned about the length of the warranty. Can you share some thoughts with me?
Yeah, well, the brakes are a wear item, but what kind of warranty do you put on wear items?
Now we've taken it all the way from I want to talk it over with my wife, all the way down to this is the issue that he's dealing with. It's called isolating objections. You go through this entire process. Now, Scott, we're going to pick back up. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
But what I'd like to do at this point in picking back up is let's presume at this point that you didn't have an objection to the warranty. And let's go on a little further, all right? Because we would just deal with the warranty issue here at this point. Let's presume that's not the case. Now, do you have any questions about our warranty, Scott?
No.
Okay. You think it would meet with your wife's expectations as well? Excellent. And what about the fact that this is something that Steve had said that you guys really need to take care of just as soon as possible, do you? Do you feel comfortable with his recommendation that this is something you really need to take care of?
I believe so.
Now, there used to be a detective back in the 70s that was on TV that I always used to laugh at. He's a guy that would always scratch his head and he wore the cheap suits and smoked his cigars. Remember Columbo? Remember how he would always walk? He would always ask a lot of questions. That's what I admired about him. And then he would always walk to the door. He would put his hand on the doorknob. And he would say, you know, before I leave, I got one other question for you. You remember that? If your wife had the keys to your car in her purse when you went to the theater, then how are you able to get your truck back to the house? Remember how he would do that? Do you realize that's what I'm doing here? It's called isolating objections. It's going through this sequence of finding out where the objection is. I'm closing the doors. Now, at this point, we're going to pick back up that he feels that it's something that needs to be done just as soon as possible. What you need to do at that point, then, is now we're down to price. The reason that we're down to price is we now believe that he believes that it's something that he needs to do. We now believe that he believes we're the right people and the warranties meet with his expectation. We now believe that he believes that it's something that needs to be done just as soon as possible. So the only one that's left at this point is price. So what you need to do is you don't have to smoke cigars or scratch your head, but you need to ask a question much like this in a reviewing way. Well, Scott, let me ask you this. If you feel comfortable that this is something that needs to be done, if you feel comfortable with our resolution, a way that we can help you solve the problem, if you feel comfortable that our warranties would meet your expectation and your wife's expectation as well, if you feel comfortable that this is something that needs to be done just as soon as possible, could it be the price that you think should be concerned about?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's an affordability issue that y'all might be looking at. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, I got some great news for you. We accept MasterCard. We accept Visa. We accept American Express. We also have 90 days, same as cash, if you're in a cash crunch.
Excellent.
We could go ahead and run an application on it.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Let's go ahead and do that, all right? So now what we've done is we've just taken a guy that said he'd like to talk to his wife. We've revisited all the issues or concerns that he may have had, and we've isolated it down to price, affordability in this issue, and then we've helped him resolve that. You're going to find when you go through that exercise, if you pay very close attention to the customer's demeanor, that when you go through that reviewing process, you're going to start to find out where they're really troubled. They may not believe that it needs to be done. You're going to hear comments like, well, you know, do you really have to replace those rotors? There it is. You're going to hear comments like, well, you know, that warranty doesn't seem very long. There it is. Well, you know, I was hoping, you know, is this something that I got to do right now? There it is. But you got to revisit these. Now, when I get all the way to the end, I want to be very clear. When I get all the way to the end, if he still doesn't want to share it with me, as we say, and he says, no, Bob, I'd just like to talk it over with my wife. Well, then God bless him. You know, I'm not here to beat people over the head. I'm here to help people. Well, terrific. Look, when you talk with her, I'm sure she's going to have some questions by the time you get home and go over everything with her. Please feel free to give me a call. You know, we're here to help you folks. Now, at least when he leaves, I've clarified with him the need. I've clarified with him the warranty. I've clarified with him all the benefits of our services. There's no misunderstanding when he walks out the door. I hope that makes sense to you folks. Did I see a hand go up in the back?
I was going to say that even if it was an issue with the rotors, it may not be an issue that he didn't trust you.
Y'all hear him? The whole thing could be built around money. You're absolutely right. More often than not, that's where it is. If you do a good job all the way through the process, the sales presentation, more often than not, that's where it is. It's just an affordability kind of a deal in many cases. Here's a tantamount rule in dealing with sales objection. Whenever a customer tells you, this is an important one, don't miss this one. Whenever a customer looks at you and says, they'd like to think it over, what I'm going to ask that you never do is ask them a question like this. Well, Scott, exactly what is it that you'd like to think over? Never ask that question, because every single time they'll say, well, I'd like to think about everything. You always need to go through this exercise. Whenever they say they'd like to think it over, well, terrific, Scott. You know, we'll go ahead and get the wheels back. Now, let's say it's not talking it over with the wife. Let's say it's thinking it over. Same thing. Terrific, Scott. We'll go ahead and get the wheels put back on. I'll get you scooted out of here in just a few minutes. Before you scoot out of here, I know by the time you get home tonight and grab a bite to eat, your head's going to be going 1,000 miles an hour. There's going to be 1,000 things that we talked about that you're going to forget. So before you scoot out of here, do you have any questions at all about our recommendation? I know when you came in, you're concerned about the fact that it was pulling you off. And review it again. Go through the same exercise.
Pretty much the same thing. If you turned it around, instead of, I want to talk to the wife, I need to talk to the husband.
With the gal, what you need to do is make sure that when she does talk to him, that she has all of the facts that she needs. Same thing. You're absolutely right. So the next time a customer looks at you and says, I'd like to talk it over with my wife, what I'm going to ask that you say is something like, well, Mr. Mahoney, we certainly covered a lot of information here today. Well, it's true. It's true. Let them know. We certainly covered a lot of information here today. Before you scoot out of here, I want to make sure that you have all of the information that you need, so when you're talking to your wife tonight, you'll be able to answer all of her questions. And then go all the way back to the beginning. When you came in, I know that you were concerned about this. And then get an agreement from that. Do you have any questions about our diagnosis? Do you think she would have any questions about our recommendation? Do you think she would feel comfortable with our products, our services, and the benefits that we offer? Do you feel that this is something that needs to be done just as soon as possible? And then at that point, when you get an agreement, if you get an agreement to all of those points, at that point, all that you need to do is say something to the extent of, well, if you feel comfortable that this is something that needs to be done, if you feel comfortable with our company and the benefits that we offer with our services, and if you feel, though, this is something that you really need to do just as soon as possible, let me ask you this, Scott, could it be the price that you're concerned about? And you'll be amazed at how many times they'll say, yeah, you know, it's just, my gosh, it's just a lot of money. And then be the detective again. Well, Scott, you say it's a lot of money. Can you elaborate on that? Well, yeah, I saw a coupon in the paper. A fellow down the street said he could do it for less. Or when I had the brakes replaced on my Toyota, it didn't cost nearly that much. But what we've done now is isolated it all the way down to a price objection. Here's another one that you'll see every now and then. Can you knock $20 off the price? And Glenn is in the back laughing. Glenn, you've heard this one before. Glenn has probably heard it 1,000 times. 10,000 times. Probably a more real number, huh, Glenn? That's a common one, huh? Well, how you handle the negotiators is really up to you. I'm just going to give you some things to think about. Number one, I don't believe that you should negotiate, period. You offer a great value, a great service with a great company of great people. The way you maintain competitive prices in your company is by being fair to everybody. If you discounted the price to him over there, you're going to have to charge somebody else more over there. Do y'all agree with me? So here's how I used to handle price negotiators, and this is one that I know can work for you. Well, Mr. Johnston, as much as I'd like to be able to do that, I have to tell you. Now, I'm going to fill in the rest of the blanks here. Brad looks at me, and let's say the price on the brake service is $285.75. $285.75. Hold on to that number. I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to say something like this. Well, Mr. Johnson, I have to tell you, I would love to be able to fix your automobile. I really would. But if you took $285 and laid it up on the service counter without the 75 cents, I couldn't take it. But let me tell you why. You see, when that money goes into the cash drawer, at the end of the day, my job depends on that cash drawer balancing. And as much as that I would love to be able to help you with your automobile, if my wife found out that I was paying to fix somebody else's car, she'd leave me in a moment. You don't want to see me lose a 34-year marriage over 75 cents, do you? And most customers, not all of them, most of them will laugh when you tell them that. And they'll realize that you're not a negotiator. You brought levity to it. Now, if you don't do this, I have another thought for you. If you don't do this, understand, you're going to have the guy that's going to look at you and say, you know what, you give me a price break on this, and I'll send all my friends to you. Right? Lord forbid. That's just what you need. All the negotiators coming in to see you. In reality, though, the problem is that if you do drop on your price, then look at the message that you're sending to the customer. The message that you're really sending to them was you would have charged them more money up front if they wouldn't have asked for the negotiated price. What kind of vibe is that to send to people? Then they expect it the next time. Now we're playing Monopoly, right? With other people's hearts and souls and Visa cards. And that's not the way you treat people. This is it. What you need to do is, instead of negotiating on a price, what you need to do is build value. Look at this one. I'm just trying to find the best price. Y'all have bumped into this one. Well, Mr. Bennett, I'm sure the price is important to you, and it should be. But I have to tell you, my daughter called me the other day from Phoenix. She had a problem with her car, and she said, "Dad, would you talk to the service advisor here?" And I said, "Yeah, honey, put him on the phone." And Mr. Bennett, the first thing that I asked that man had nothing to do with price. Of course, it's important to me. But the first thing that I asked him is, how long have you been in business? I wanted to make sure that they withstood the test of time if they're going to touch her car. The second question that I asked him is, do you have certified technicians that work with you? Because I want to make sure that any technician that's working on her car clearly knows what he's doing. The third question that I asked him is, do you have a drug-free workplace program in place? Because I want to make sure that if they are working on her automobile, they're not as high as a kite. We're talking about my daughter, just like your family. The next question that I ask him is, are you approved by the AAA? And after that, I ask him, tell me about the diagnostic procedures that you use. Walk me through those step by step. And then I ask him about the warranties and the options that are made available to people like me, because I know every ethical auto repair shop will always look for ways of offering people choice. Now, is the price important to me? Of course, Mr. Bennett, it was important to me. Extremely important, and it should be. But I got to tell you, if I didn't get the answers that I was looking for to those first six questions, then any price that they would have given me whatsoever would have been the wrong price. Now, in case if you're wondering, I'm thrilled to tell you, we've been serving the greater San Diego County area for the past 22 years. And you bet, we do have certified technicians, and we're proud of that. What those guys and gals can do is fix your car right the first time, because they'll diagnose it right the first time. What that's going to do is save you time and money. And then just reiterate, go through all of the points that you've covered in the past. Does this work with everybody? No, it doesn't. You know who it works with? The people that you would love to have as customers. The people that understand that everything does not hinge on price. The people that really understand the value of doing business with people like you. What we need to do as professionals is turn the lights on for them. Help them. Here's some power tools that can really help you when it comes to dealing with sales objections. Look at this one. Is it the price or the cost? This is one of my all-time favorites. This is one that I learned, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this. This is one that I learned when I first got married, when my wife and I went out. We were looking to save money, and what we bought was a used washer machine. Because we thought we couldn't afford to buy a new washer machine. And by the time we were done with that used one, we put more money into that pig than what we would have spent if we would have bought a new one. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? So what I learned when I was in the auto repair business, when a customer would say, well, you know, that's a lot of money. Well, can you elaborate on that? Well, I mean, it's just a ton of money. I mean, that's going to cost me a fortune. Then I would look at people, and to this day I'm going to encourage you to do, look at them and say, well, let me ask you this, Steve. Is it the price you're concerned about or the cost? They will always look at you like a deer in the headlights. I can tell you that the price, if you look at our repair order here, the price is how much you have to write the check out for in order to get your automobile back. So here at our facility, the price on this repair is $235.45. The cost is how much you're ultimately going to pay for whatever decision you make. Now, what that means is that there's a lot of shops out here in San Diego County where you can go and you'll find prices that are higher and prices that are lower. But when you start to think as to how much it's going to cost you for that decision, when you start to think of how much it's going to cost you if you have to take that car back in to be repaired again, when you start thinking how much it's going to cost you if that car fails and it's out of warranty and you have to pay to do the job again, when you start thinking about how much it's going to cost you if you lose time at work and have to get a rental car because you dealt with the wrong guys or the wrong gals, by the time you add up all of those numbers, you could be looking at a whole lot of money. We refer to that as the cost. So, Steve, I can tell you this. You could go all through San Diego and you'll find facilities where the prices are higher than ours, and you'll find facilities where the prices are lower than ours. But you won't find one auto repair facility anywhere in San Diego County where the cost, the true net cost, is lower than it is at Elite Auto Repair. And you are looking to save money, right?
Of course.
Well, then the best decision for you is to go ahead with this premium service. And I could have you back on the road this afternoon so you could pick up the kids by 4:30. That's how you deal with this one. When it's the price or the cost, explain the differences in the two. Most people don't realize that. Most people think that bottom line that they see, $99 brakes, is the cost. It's not. It's the price. There's a difference in the two. This is one that I learned from a remarkable service advisor. Anytime a customer ever looks at you, this is an easy one to use, and it works like a champ. Anytime a customer ever looks at you and says, is that your best price? All that you need to do is answer it and then change subject. And this is how you do it. You look at them and you say, yes, it is, Javier. Yes, it is, Mike. Whatever their name is, you look right in their eyes and you say, yes, it is, Mitch. Do you have any other questions? Yes, it is, Kevin. Do you have any other questions? Yes, it is, Richard. Do you have any other questions? Y'all with me on this? That's all that you need to do. You know, is that your best price? Yes, it is, Scott. Do you have any other questions for me? So I succinctly answered your question, right? Pardon me? Well,
there's no need for them to revisit it.
Yeah, yes, it is. I mean, you ask a question, is that your best price? I mean, are we going to sit here and him-haw about it? Well, yeah, it pretty much is. What am I going to say? Well, help me. Yeah, well, that's what am I going to say? Well, I think it is. Well, it probably is.
As far as you know.
Yeah, as far as I know, it is. Yeah, maybe I can talk to the boss. Well, do you have any coupons with you? Well, right. So we need to bring finality to this. Is that your best price? Yes, it is. Do you have any other questions? And it changes the subject. That one works like a champ. This is probably one of my all-time favorites. It's probably easier for me to do this in a role play, so I'm going to come back up to Steve here for a moment, and I'll show you how this one works. Let's say, for an example, I'm at Connell Chevrolet, and let's say Steve is my customer. And let's say that he's telling me the brake service that I just quoted you for $235 and change. Let's say, for an example, you can take it over to another facility in town. Now, I'm going to choose my words. That has great technicians, that has great warranties, has everything that we offer. Everything that we offer, with one difference. Their prices are a lot lower than ours. They've been in business for 1,000 years. They're AAA approved. Y'all with me on this? So then the question is, how do we compete with people like that? This is a role play that you'll do. And this just needs to come from your heart. It's real easy to do. You always need to have business cards wherever you're selling. You always need to have where you could reach out and grab business cards. If you can't grab one of those, you're going to lose. You know, one of the things that I know about, I'm going to go off record. I'm going to talk to all of you, not to him. There's one thing that I can offer him that nobody else in Irvine, California can. That's me. I'm me. You're you. You can offer you to him, I can offer me to him, nobody else can offer me, and nobody else can offer you, period. Now, there's something else that I could offer him that nobody else in Irvine can offer him. Don't laugh at me when I tell you this. I could have him back on the road with good, dependable transportation by 4:30 this afternoon, because I already have his vehicle at my facility. The wheels are off. The brakes are inspected. You all with me on this? And I know that this man is very interested in finality. So now I'm going to pick up with the role play with him. And Steve tells me that somebody else can do it for less down the street. I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say something like this. Well, Steve, you know, I would really love to have the sale. I would. I'd love to be able to go ahead and solve your transportation problems for you today. But more importantly, what I would love to have is you as a customer. Let me tell you about the differences between the two. Having you as a customer means if you ever have any questions, not only about your Chevrolet here, but any automobiles, doesn't matter. Any of your family or friends have any questions, I want to be your go-to guy. I want to be the guy that you call and say, Bob, I got a question. Can you help me out with this or help me out with that? That has nothing to do with money. It has to do with people. So there's two things that I could do for you that nobody else in Irvine, California can do for you. Number one, reach out and hand him your business card. I could give you me. That might be worthless for all I know, but I really would love to have you as a customer. And number two, and then look at your watch if he's in front of you for the finality and say, I could have you back on the road with good, dependable transportation by 4:30 this afternoon. I know you said you're anxious to pick up the kids and get your life back in gear. I'm going to wait for him to make a comment.
Was that your best price?
Yes, it is, Steve. Do you have any other questions?
Keep going.
Yeah, grind me into the ground. I'm used to this.
Keep going. I just keep thinking about the overall cost. And he down the street, he really says he can just take care of it and get me going and be cheaper. So.
Well, it may very well be the case. Are you looking at price or are you looking at the cost?
Well, I don't really understand the question. What the difference? Well, obviously, the price is what I'll be looking at right now.
Well, the price obviously is how much you're going to have to pay to get your car back, whether it be from Connell Chevrolet or any other facility. The cost is ultimately how much you're going to have to invest in that automobile. So when you think about the cost, Steve, you're going to need to think about a number of things. Number one, you're going to need to think about not only the price of the repair, but you're going to need to think about if you have other issues with it and if you have to take it back, if it's not fixed right the first time. I mean, here at Connell Chevrolet, it's not that we have good guys. We have great guys. You know, the fellow that I introduced you to earlier, Eric, he's a Chevrolet specialist. It's all that he does, day in and day out and day in and day out. He's not good at it. He's great at it. And the parts that we had talked about, I know that you want to fix it right the first time. I'm sure of that. The parts that we use are genuine General Motors parts. And then you have a 100-year-old company standing behind the warranty. Well, Steve, I'm sure that those things are important to you. These are all things that you need to take into consideration whenever you're making any kind of decision with your automobile. And if you're just looking at price, as a matter of fact, I'm very candid with you. If you're looking at price, and if that fellow said that he could do it for you said what, $240?
Yeah.
Here, take a look here. Here's one of the local penny savers. Here's ads in here where guys are doing brakes for $49. Well, I mean, there's always somebody that says that they could do it for less. We are a AAA approved facility, which means we met the highest standard of making sure that people like you are really pleased with the service of people like us to deliver. Steve, look, before we go any further, I want to make sure that whatever decision that you make, you're comfortable with. I know that when you came in this morning, you said you wanted to get back on the road by 4:30 and pick up the kids. But I want you not just picking up the kids. I want you to be happy.
Well, I like you said, I'd feel comfortable knowing who was working on my car. So go ahead and get them started.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to grab a pen and put it in his hand. I'm going to let that sink in. I want to make sure that he resells himself. So before I'm going to do any paperwork or anything like that, I'm going to make sure that he's sold. Well, you know, that's a good decision. It really is. You have a great automobile. You're dealing with a great company with great people. And I'm going to make you a promise, too, before you scoot out of here. I'm going to be your go-to guy. If you ever have any questions, and again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I know you mentioned earlier that you have a Ford at home as well. If you have any questions about that Ford, if there's ever anything that I could do to help you, I'd like to be the guy that you call. Great decision, by the way. You really did make a great decision on it.
Thank you.
He did a good job as a customer, huh? Great job. Great customer. Thank you. So I'd love to have the sale, but what I would really like to have is you as a customer. You need to distinguish the difference in the two. You need to distinguish the difference in the two. And when you offer them a business card, when you tell them that you could have it done when nobody else can because you have the car there, that brings that finality there. You with me on this? Any other objections that y'all want to put on the table before we move on? Yes, sir.
Going back to the discount that the guy asked for, earlier we were talking about, I thought it was your night for everything all at once. And let's say it's a $3,400 ticket, and you don't have to buy, you know, it's not a transmission that you're working out a bunch of money for. I mean, it's $3,400, and it's all service work, and it's all highly profitable. And they want to do it all at once, but because they're going to spend $3,400 all at once, then that's when they're going to start to ask for, well, are there economies of scale? Is there overlapping labor? We like, if the bill is that big, and we sense that if we work with them a little bit, we give them the individual prices, they all have the $3,400, but if they do it all today, we're willing to work with them a little bit. What's the best way to present that? Is telling them, well, there is overlapping labor. I mean, is it okay if the bill gets big enough to work with them a little bit on it? Or are you just saying, never, never, never?
Well, yeah, I'm a supporter of overlapping labor and giving legitimate identification of that, but not just discounting it. Meaning that if there's some kind of service that requires overlapping labor, bring that to the customer's attention. Well, look, you know, Brian, if we go ahead and do this service at the same time, then it looks like I could save you $135 by doing that. because we're already into it, that's going to save you money. So I see that as a great approach. And not changing the subject, but one of the things that I'm going to encourage all of you to do is, whenever you do have overlapping labor, show the savings at the bottom, whereas customers could actually see in dollars and cents how much they're saving. But other than that, I'm not a supporter of discounts, because it becomes too arbitrary, too. It becomes too arbitrary. You did this for me last time. Can you do it for me again this time? I hope that answers your question. What other sales objection? Great question. What other sales objection y'all bump up against? Yes, sir.
Like, say somebody has a second vehicle and they don't use it that much, sits in the garage most of the time, but they brought it in to get it fixed, and they're objecting to whatever the price, blah, blah, blah. How do you sell them on that? If it's a car that they really don't need, that is like the second form of transportation.
Yeah. I apologize. I can't see your name tag from here. I apologize. Mike. Hi, Mike. Thanks for your comment. Well, Mike, you know, obviously you have a number of different options available to you at this time. Of course, you don't have to go ahead and fix it. You could take the car home the way it is and park it in the yard. You could do that. You're probably paying insurance on it, safe to say. Registration on it, safe to say. If you're going to have an automobile, you need to have good, dependable transportation. You'll never know when you're going to need this vehicle. And I appreciate your fact that it's a second car. But, you know, the reason people have second cars is sometimes they don't have the availability of their primary car. I mean, if something happens to your Explorer, you're going to need to have good, dependable transportation, right? Then let's either make a commitment that you're going to have good, dependable transportation, or you're going to get rid of it. Why have a boat anchor in your yard? If the car's not dependable, it's not safe, you're paying insurance on it, you're paying license plates on it, you know, it's tying up your property. I mean, let's fix it. As a matter of fact, if you're going to get rid of the car, then let's fix it too. Our warranties are transferable. That way you'll have a good automobile that you can sell to somebody. You've already invested your time to bring the car in. You invested your energies. We've went ahead and did the diagnosis for you. Cars aren't like people. They don't heal themselves. Broken cars are worthless. People don't want to buy broken cars. You brought the car in because you're interested in taking care of it. You're making the right decision. Let's get you back on the road with good, dependable transportation. Get your life back in gear. I know you're an engineer over at the plant. You don't need to be thinking about cars all the time. Problem's not going to solve itself. People can tell where you're coming from. If they sense that you're coming from your heart, they'll read right into that. They will. If they sense you're looking at Visa, then they'll look at it otherwise. My interest is in helping him make the right decision. So at this point, if you said, no, Bob, you know, I really don't want to fix it, fine. But when you walk out the store, don't forget that the car is worthless, right? So I wanted to make sure that you knew that before you left. I wanted to make sure that you knew that you were paying taxes and insurance on it before you left. I don't want you getting home and going, you know, I should have fixed it while I had the car there. You know, now the car's still worthless at home. So I'm just giving you more information, more things to think about. What other sales objections y'all bump up against that y'all want to deal with? Eric, your hand went up?
It's more back along the lines of discount, but what are your feelings on matching coupons, assuming they are apples for apples, factory parts, they're doing the same thing you're doing?
I'm not a supporter of that. I understand your question. I'm not a supporter for matching any coupons. I'm not a supporter of that. I am, you know, bring in any viable competitor's coupon and we'll match it. You get into a price game then, and you can get eaten alive. And that's based on the premise that you're selling something other than service. I mean, great doctors don't do that. Great doctors don't, because great doctors know that what they're selling is you. They're selling service, warranty. And the coupon, the guy down the street says he'll do what? He'll do a brake job for pick the magic number, $179. I'll do a brake job for $179. Why do we consider that they're both the same? They're not. They're not the same unless the same person did the service. The same individual did the service. The same individual did the diagnosis. The same companies are warranting the service. Y'all with me on this? Just because they got the same parts and the same billable hour labor does not make them same by any stretch of the imagination. It's the furthest from the truth. So I think coupons are good for commodity, Eric. I think your question is a great question. Tide. If you're looking at Tide, buy coupons. Y'all with me on this? It's a product. It's commodity in a box. Not when you're in a service business. So I'm against those. Yes, sir.
Quick on getting back to discounts that you don't believe in, something I've never really thought about, and I have done it in the past. If somebody is buying a log job, like Brian said, perhaps $3,000, and then even if they are a regular customer or first-timer, if they say, I understand this is a lot of work, I'm not to get it done, is there any way you can save me, you know, a couple hundred dollars? Could you do it all, tax included, for $2,800? In the event that you wanted that job bad enough that you did do it, is that almost an admission that your prices were high enough?
I think it is. I would never expect you to do that for me. What I would do before I would get near that, and I need to be clear, I want to stay not so much on marketing but on sales. What I would do before I would do that is I would give that customer some type of entitlement to subsequent service. You know what I can do for you? You know what I'll do? If you go ahead and do all these services, if you want to get this wrapped up, you know what I'll do? And I'll do this. This is going to come from me. This is not going to come from AutoMax, all right? It's me doing this for you. What I'll do is I'll take care of you with your next two oil services. Wait a minute. They're not going to be on AutoMax. I want to be clear. They're going to be on me. And the reason I'm going to do that for you is I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that you're going to go out and tell a lot of friends about our company. That's what I'll do for you. Now I'm not giving him money, but what I am doing is giving him the opportunity to come back in and receive some kind of reward,
value.
Some kind of value, where I win as well.
Do you think that in the event, even if it was a good customer, you want to give him something, you didn't do it the fashion that you just explained, is he going home thinking that he got a really good deal, or is he going home thinking that there was probably enough money in the job that you should have given it to him for that price?
Well, I don't know if that is the case. You know, it's hard to go inside of everyone's mind, Greg. Your question's a great question. I don't think that there's a perfect example that we can follow with every protocol, with every customer. I don't think that we can do that. What I do believe, though, is I do believe that when we start lowering our price, not giving something away to somebody, there's a difference in the two. Saying this number comes down to this number. But when you say, I'll give you a complimentary oil service next time you're in, I don't look at that as discounting the price. I really don't. I don't look at that. I look at that as a customer service. I'm waiving the fee for that oil service next time you're in. That's something I could do. But these numbers are already established on this repair.
If you've already sold benefits and value, it isn't even going to be a conversation. I'm not going to be trying to, what I would term, grind your price. And then what we try and do is just exceed their expectations. We'll have the car washed. We'll do all of this stuff. So when they come there, they're just... They're going, wow.
You know where you get in trouble with that, and you all know, is especially if there is not a measurable way of managing it.
And then customers automatically say, well, okay, in their mind they're thinking, you know, well, the price is $2,800, the oil change is, you know, $30, so he's taken off $30 off this bill, so now it's, you know, $27.70, and yeah, okay, you know, it really does work. Very, very well. Just give them something, a little something.
You know, and thanks for a great comment. Before we move on, Greg, you're bringing up a really great question, and I'm really happy that you did. You know what? If you came into AutoMax, and if I was a service advisor there, and if you had a $3,000 bill, I would more than likely, at the outside, give you a complimentary oil service next time you're in, not even two. But let me tell you why. The bigger benefit, the bigger value that I give you as the reward, what I'm reflecting to you is a larger margin than I have a perception that we're making in our company. That's when I'm going to get in trouble. So if I say to you, well, thank you so much, you know, because you're spending $3,000 with us, what I could do is I could give you this box of sea candy worth $5.55. What I'm really telling you is there's no margins there. So when you start discounting $200 or $300, you're telling them that there's a margin there. So the lesser in economic value of the reward that I give you, the more I'm letting you know that there's no money there to give back. So I'm still trying to be kind with you, and I'll say, you know what? Your next oil service is going to be on me. You've been coming to us for a long time. Your next oil service is on me. I'll take care of it for you. Now you go, wow, man, these guys are working on a thin margin.
Then how do you know when to quit?
There's three times when you quit when it comes to dealing with sales objections. Number one, when you start to feel as though you're being frustrated. When you start going, oh, you know, this customer's really getting under my skin. You know, I'm dealing with Caesar over here, and this guy's really getting to be a pain. That's going to show through. That's when you quit. Number one. The second time that you quit when it comes to dealing with sales objections is when you start to sense that he's getting frustrated with you. And there's going to be customers that will stand in front of you and just continue to give you objections. And no matter what you do, and you sense that they're starting to get a little frustrated, then stop. And the third rule, the third, like a triangle, the third rule is to when you stop with sales objections, is when they've given you the objection, you've clearly articulated an answer to them, they understand it, and they've made a clear, conscious decision to not go ahead. Hi, this is Bob again. I hope you enjoyed what you just heard, and I hope that it met with your expectation. If you want to drive up your sales, and if you want to do it in the most affordable way, then you owe it to yourself to visit our website, because we have more sales solutions for the automotive professional than any other company on this entire planet, guaranteed. If you're looking for help with marketing, if you're looking to find and hire the superstar technicians and service advisors, if you want to turn your existing employees into absolute stars, or if you're just looking to build a more profitable, successful business, well, I have some great news. We can help you with all of those as well. To learn more about our industry-leading products and services in both English and Spanish, visit our website at www.EliteWorldWideStore.com. This is Bob Cooper of Elite, and I would like to say from the bottom of my heart, thanks again for your trust in us.
This entire audio program, as well as all the associated materials, are protected under both U.S. and international law. It is illegal to copy this program, in whole or in part, to electronically transmit it to a third party, or to use it for any commercial purpose outside of its intended use without the expressed written permission of Elite Worldwide. To learn more about Elite and the terms and conditions of the use of this product, please visit our website at www.EliteWorldWideStore.com.